Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He's coming back. His return is very soon. Very, very soon. And I love Him. I would say I can't wait for Him to come back, but I am excited about His return. But I want all of my brothers and sisters that can be saved to be saved. Everybody that would love salvation, I pray that the Lord would move in their life, stir up people around them that love Him to help them see their way out of darkness. Lord, bless us to go forward. Help us to do all that's in Your heart. Help us to speak Your words to those who would love to hear You. And they are out there. There are people out there that would love to know God, that would get saved. You know, I'm reminded of a man that the Lord sent him to an elderly home. And he said a lady that was in her 90s got saved for the first time. We were at a ICL film meeting, and he and his wife, and he said that some of the people had dementia or either Alzheimer's, and when they would sing those songs, they couldn't always remember that name, and you know, but they remembered all the songs of the older hymns that they used to sing. You know, nobody would know that but a person that was following God and was at the place to know something like that. But there are people out there that would love to know God. God has been misrepresented by many people of God for many reasons. And people are hurting. And people are troubled. But God still loves them. And I pray that the Lord will just do something that's beyond my knowledge to cause people that would love to know Him to hear His voice and receive true representation. This is something that I've been desiring for a long time. Everything is happening fast. Things are not normal like they used to be. And they probably won't ever be like they used to be. This is war. I'm used to warfare. But I've never seen anything this bad before. But the things that's going on today in today's world. And you have to pray about everything. You have to be vigilant. You just have to be vigilant. You have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. No matter what you decide to do, it's better to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and do precisely what He gives, precisely what He points out to you to do. Do that. Some things in this late hour, you know, things that's important to us, they're important to God, but there's more things that's more important. We need to seek Him. This is a day we really need to seek God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added, just like He said. But remember, His return is soon, so a lot of our goals and dreams can be cut short. You have to understand that if He returns and takes His people off the earth, you know, your goals are going to be cut short, but you're going to go into greater glory. So you're not losing anything. But those that are left will lose everything. And it's going to, you know, days will come that your whole country will try to kill you, which there are many people that are deadly now, but they don't have the, you know, they're fighting to get power to kill. And he's working against the darkness. But His return is imminent, so it's important to just know Him. Not only for your safety, but as we yield to the Lord, we, you know, like I always teach, like the Lord always having me teach, that when we yield to Him, we become empowered to help other people through the anointing. And as we receive life, we can give more life. That's just the way it is. And it's good to know what God is doing. God will reveal to you what he's doing. And, you know, as I minister and teach, I reveal things as the Lord prompted me to, because he knows what people can handle. But when you go in the Lord's presence yourself, he'll reveal to you things that you can handle and prepare you to handle more. If you give people too much at once, it, you know, they have a hard time dealing with that. God loves people. And he knows what people's responses is, how what their limits are. We become unlimited in his presence through the choice of obeying him. But nevertheless, the short version is draw near to God and he'll draw near to you and help you to win the people that's important to you, or he'll help you be the best blessing you can be for them. And remember, everybody has a right to make up their own mind however they want to make it. And God wants them to make their own choice. The kingdom of God is a volunteer army. There are no cowards in his army. It's a volunteer army. They don't necessarily want to be at war, but they fight for what they believe in. They resist the works of darkness. They don't cower down to Satan. And they love the life of God more than their life. And this is true with those that love God. They're those that break through and go to heaven. You're breaking through the course of this world. You're breaking through the world system when you believe on Jesus. You're breaking through all the doctrines and deadness of men, the persuasions. God told Abraham to leave your nation, your kindred, and your father's house. So he left his country, he left his kindred, and his father's house. We break through on those levels, the national persuasion, the people that we're around every day, the common persuasion, and then our own desires of the world. We have to break through those things. When you believe on Jesus Christ and you follow him, you broke through all that. Then from there, you need to strengthen what is, strengthen the life in you, and it'll continue the healing process of salvation. We're saved we believe unto salvation. We believe God more and more to the point that our whole life is just like Jesus' life. And those require breakthroughs. We break through the darkness and we live the light. We're saved unto salvation from the heart, not just agreeing in our mind. But hearts, the real salvation is from the heart. And there's a big difference. And when you live from your heart, you know, you expose darkness that's trying to hide from you. People are trying to hide. And when you expose things that are in real time by the light of God's word, you live the light of God's word, you expose darkness wherever it's trying to hide. And you make people uncomfortable. You know, you can walk in the room and people start checking themselves. They don't want to be exposed for the darkness that they care about. And they try to find a place to hide it and act right. This is why 10 men could have stopped the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. When they wanted to stone the girl that was caught in adultery, the lady that was caught in adultery, they all picked up stones and they tested Jesus to see if what he would do. They brought her to him. So this little woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And he was writing on the ground, minding his own business. And he said, "Let he that is without sin cast the first stone." And they all left, beginning with the oldest. People have darkness and they try not to let it be revealed. They knew that they sinned, they knew that they had it, and the motive to kill people was gone, and they dropped their rocks and left. And then he asked the woman, "Where are your accusers?" They left. And he said, "I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more." See, the people missed the point. To deter people from sin in the Old Testament, they had to stone the people that sinned, that committed adultery or fornication. They had to stone them, keep it out of the camp, because God had to come through a people that loved him. It was just a deterrent, and it was real, but that was the point. Now, people would fear because they really didn't want to stone somebody for something that they wanted to do. But they had the commandment of Moses. Moses ruled with an iron rod, and it was, you had to do right or leave. and you just had to do right. But then they found out doing right works. Life works. There's nothing wrong with life. Life works. Sometimes people don't get a chance to find out how good it works because they keep fooling with the darkness. But life works where darkness can't work. Nevertheless, we needed a Savior. The Savior had to come through a people that loved God and was holy, a sincere people. And you know what happened? The darkness covered them. And Isaiah had to blind them because they kept going into idolatry. And he blinded them so that they couldn't know who Jesus is. And my friend yesterday pointed out that they thought they knew God, but the people who were sincere, they're the ones that know God. In Isaiah 7. See, God got a way to deal with things. He let them go into captivity, and that killed their desire for Baal worship. You didn't hear anything else David Jeremiah said, Pastor David Jeremiah. He said that after Israel went into Babylonian captivity, you didn't hear anything else from them about Baal worship. Even the Pharisees didn't talk about it. But they still missed the point that they were blinded. Jesus came to them. They said they loved the Word of God, but they didn't. They tried to kill the Word of God because Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh, and they hated him. And if you think they were bad, they wanted to kill him. They took him before Pilate. And Pilate tried to get the people to rescue him, and the people wanted Barabbas. And the societies of this earth are no different. The same spirits that were on them when those people died, they got on the next generation, and then the next generation, and then the next generation. People don't know why they're reluctant. You know, why would Adam bypass the tree of life and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's possible that he never ate off the tree of life. Why? The same reason people would rather watch reruns on TV that studied the Word of God. Not putting the people in, not intending to put people in condemnation. But when you continue to choose the things of this world over the knowledge of God, what's going to happen? Jesus put it this way: if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. Where is death in your life? Where is death working? Is the marriage failing? Is your relationship with your children falling apart? Is your relationship with your friends falling apart? Are things going haywire on your job? Where is death working? And why is death working? What is your response to the death that's working in your life? Even laziness is a death. Laziness brings death to things. When people are lazy and they should be cutting their grass, their yard gets full of weeds. The weeds take root. They go to seed and it spreads. And they grow faster than grass. Death is working in the yard. If you don't fix the leaky roof, if it's leaking and dripping, it gets worse. Death is working on top of your house because of your laziness. But when you can go up there and fix it and choose not to, because of laziness, death continues to do its work. So laziness itself is a death. It does nothing against what is dying. But when you're diligent, you perceive the life that's in you. You use your strength, your wit, your wisdom to secure the things you work for and make it better. And that's what God will have us do. That's the life of God. Some people have to have a boss or they won't be successful. That was a man that had a successful business, and he hired a young man and set him up to become a wealthy man. Now, as long as he was the boss, the guy did fine. He did things in order. But when he sold him the business, the other guy failed. Some people have to have a boss. They cannot or they won't be self-motivated and wise of themselves. Even though he was shown how to do things, he made other wise choices instead of doing what he was trained to do. He was trained. And he was doing well until he started doing it his way. Some people fail because they don't do the protocols of life. Jesus explained the protocols of life to us, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, what he spoke to the seven churches, the address to the seven churches. He gave us everything we need. If we follow what he said to the seven churches, after all the other things he spoke, we can secure everything in our lives. What he said to the seven churches will get us out of any trouble that we could possibly get in. And the Beatitudes show us the heart of God and our response. It shows us our wisdom. If you live by and embrace the Beatitudes and what he said on the Sermon on the Mount, you can fulfill all the Proverbs. And you can enjoy all the benefits of a relationship that's written in the Psalms. You won't miss the mark and you won't miss the point. You won't be like the dying Pharisees. They were consumed with death. But when you embrace the life of God, I like to simplify it. If you do what Jesus said to the seven churches, if you perform what he said, you will bring life to anything that you do. And when we embrace the word of God, we can fulfill all the Proverbs. We can fulfill the Psalm. We can fulfill the word of God. And remember, whatever happened in the garden, that's what God continually did. Whatever you learn in Genesis, God is continually doing that all the way throughout Revelation. He stuck with the plan of redemption. He saved Adam and he meant it. He said the seed of woman will crush the serpent's head and the serpent will bruise his heel. And he fulfilled that oath. He fulfilled that promise. And it became a covenant. And he did what he said he would do. And Satan tried very hard to stop it. All of the wars that ever happened on earth was against life forming on earth. Every war on earth reflects the war, the spiritual war that we are always in. From the time Adam fell, we went to war against God and God redeemed us. And the enemy tried to stop our redemption. He's trying to stop your redemption now. He's trying to stop the life of God from proceeding in your life. And we have to kill every allowance, everything that we've been allowed, we have to destroy it. God loves us and he cares about us. And he wants us to do all that's in his heart. He wants us to live. He wants us to go forward. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continually move mightily in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord and Savior.